Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning. We've been talking about all kinds of implications of the shutdown here on The Takeaway. But one implication that we haven't touched on yet is the image that the government shutdown and the arguments over the budget have in the rest of the world. You'll remember there's a pro-democracy kind of uprising going on in many countries around the Middle East, and our politicians have had a lot to say about the benefits, the power of democracy.
Nothing less than genuine democracy will carry the day.
Let your people have democracy in Iran, Syria, and other countries.
We are on the side, as we have been for more than 30 years, of a democratic Egypt.
The rights that we take for granted here in the United States can be part of the fabric of Egypt.
It is our hope that responsible leadership will stand up on all sides.
This is the way real democracy works.
Well, if this is the way that real democracy works, that might be a warning rather than an inducement to people overseas, as we're teetering on the brink of a shutdown. Joining us now is Mina Al-Arabi, Washington, D.C. Bureau Chief for the Arab language newspaper Al-Sharq Al-Azat, and Nicholas Kristof, columnist for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nick, I wanted to start with you. Not only have you done some incredible reporting from the Middle East lately, countries like Bahrain and Egypt, but I wanted to read something from a recent one of your pieces. You wrote, "In my travels lately, I've been trying to explain to Libyans, Egyptians, Bahrainis, Chinese, and others the benefits of a democratic system. But if congressional Republicans actually shut down the government this weekend, they will be making a powerful argument for autocracy." That seems strong, Nick.
Well, I mean, essentially what we'd be saying is that, yes, you too can have a government that that gets caught up in stalemate, that won't actually get things done, that looks like a middle school. And I just find it so depressing that, you know, at the same time, you have so many countries that really are poised to move toward greater democracy that we, I mean, not only obviously cause immense problems at home, but we also just hobble that effort by tarnishing the name of democracy around the world.
Well, Mina, let me get you your reaction to what Nick has said. Mina Al-Arabi with an Arab language newspaper, Al-Sharq Al-Azat. Do you think that this is the reaction? This is the way people overseas view what's going on in Washington now?
I mean, there's huge interest in actually seeing what's going on in Washington. And you're right, I completely agree with Nick, that it gives this image of being messy and muddling through and inefficiency. And the problem is there are many autocrats who use the excuse of efficiency in trying to hold all the reins of power. So it is depressing. You know, one other example that people also refer to is Iraq. Since 2003, the systems that were put in place were supposedly to be democratic, but really a lot of what's happened is just having a dysfunctional system of government that's made decision-making almost impossible. So while the U.S. is nowhere near the system of government that was put in place in Iraq, it's the same idea of democracy leading to indecision at times. And now we're seeing in Washington possibility of government shutdown.
Well, Mina Al-Arabi with the Arab language newspaper Al-Sharq Al-Azat, do people overseas blame for this? I mean, for many people in the United States, they're kind of torn. They're hearing all these arguments back and forth between the two parties. But maybe overseas, they see this as a failure of the president.
Yes, you have to understand that many people overseas don't really understand the nuances of the American system of government. I think some people in the U.S. themselves don't understand the nuances of this system of government. So they see it as a weakness of the president rather than blame as such. I mean, I think in the U.S. you'll have people blaming because they're getting impacted directly. People overseas see it as a weakness of the president to be able to make this happen. And this, of course, comes at a time of questioning for this administration what they've been able to do in the Middle East or not been able to do in the Middle East. So I think it reflects badly on the administration more than what people are thinking necessarily of Congress.
Well, Nick Kristof with the New York Times, do you think that this possibly is a weakness of the president, that perhaps Barack Obama should have been able to find some kind of compromise that both sides could to agree to before now?
I think that maybe more than that, it's really a weakness of the not even the political system as such, but really the political culture. One of the things that I've seen often in new, young, emerging democracies is that because they're immature, that people have difficulty making compromises. They're emerging from a culture of opposition to autocrats in which you are measured not by your accomplishments, but just by the nobility of resistance. And everything is a moral struggle. And then usually as democracies mature, then it becomes about actually negotiating and making a difference. But we're kind of reverting now, I think, to that sort of immature democracy tradition where the issues are ideological, they're moral, and at least for the Tea Party wing, it becomes, you know, more noble to sort of stand against the tide, in a sense, than to actually get in the messy business of negotiation and compromise and get something really done.
But does this, Nick, then cut the feet out from underneath our diplomats who are going over to Middle Eastern states and North Africa and talking about democracy and supporting pro-democracy movement? Does this then make them look less credible?
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe cut their feet out would be a little strong. I mean, people often have very unrealistic views of the U.S. in all kinds of domains, and often they think that the American democracy works, you know, more nobly than it really does. So I think it certainly does impair the arguments to some degree. I wonder if it doesn't have more of an impact actually in East Asia, where there really is a a powerful argument that one does hear quite a bit, that more autocratic governments just work better. And Mina alluded to this. I mean, Singapore is often really held up as a great example. And in the more authoritarian end, China. China is very repressive, more so now than it was a couple of years ago. But it really does get things done. And when you see a democratic government like America's that doesn't, I think China is going to be all over this story.
Well, that's Nick Kristof, a columnist with our partner, The New York Times. Mina Al-Arabi, just in the last little bit of time that we have, do you think this is a disillusioning? Do people, as Nick say, have a noble idea about the way American democracy works, and this kind of shatters that idea?
I don't think it shatters it, because there are other bits about U.S. democracy that people really love and respect, especially in our world, but it comes through issues of transparency, accountability, the freedom of the press, the ability to discuss this so openly. But it does, I think, reinforce the idea that having multiple stakeholders making decisions just means that it's less easy to make quick decisions. So I think there's still a lot to be said for American system of government that people do respect.
Mina Al-Arabi, the Washington, D.C. bureau chief for the Arab language newspaper Asharq al-Azat, and Nicholas Kristof, columnist for our partner at The New York Times.